Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Mystery to Me podcast. I'm Anya Kane.
And I'm Kevin Greenlee.
And we love movies and television shows with a whiff of mystery. Mystery to Me will feature us riffing on murder mysteries, film noir, cozy detective stories, police procedurals, psychological thrillers, legal dramas, tales of teen sleuths, and more.
Once we're done yucking it up about whatever we've just seen, we'll serve up our 5-star final takes on whether it's worth your time.
If you're offended by silliness, profanity, political asides, canine-related interruptions, and losers laughing at their own bad jokes, beware. Also note that some of the stories we'll be talking about are pretty dark, and in some cases exceptionally badly written. So content warning for murder, violence, suicide, torture, rape, racism, misogyny, homophobia, transphobia, and bigotry.
If there's a movie or show you'd like for us to talk about, email us at mysterytomepodcast@gmail.com. Our show's take on genre is pretty loosey-goosey. So as long as your suggestion has some dash of mystery, we're interested in hearing about it.
Spoiler alert, we're going to be discussing the entirety of this show or movie, spoilers and all. So if you want to be surprised, press pause, go watch the thing, then join us for the show. Now that you've heard our spiel, go ahead and polish off those magnifying glasses and slip into your favorite trench coat. Let's get mysterious.
Hey, Anya, what did we watch?
What did we watch?
That's what I asked you. You've already forgotten.
It was very forgettable. So we watched The Big September Man, an episode of Dragnet from the first season, and that's the 11th episode, aired on May 8th, 1952.
So this is not the color version, which most people know and love.
No, we're seeing Joe Friday in black and white, just like its creators thinking about crime.
So was this your first exposure to the black and white version?
Yeah, I never saw the black and white version before.
What was your first impression comparing it to the color? Was it what you expected?
Not really. I sort of expected the kind of weird, almost jolly surrealism of the color version, where you're thrust into this vision of the world from creator Jack Webb, and this one felt different. At first, I think I was lulled into thinking it was classy because it was in black and white. I'm like, ah, yes, the color of noir.
Touch of class.
But then I just realized it was just fucking boring. Yeah, and I say that even though it's I've watched with you a Dragnet episode where the whole premise is just Joe Friday and his partner Gannon going and making weird sandwiches at having like a boys sleepover.
That was a pretty good
over
episode.
A weekend. Yeah, and that's the episode that felt like it had more stakes, more drama, more tension than this episode where it's basically a serial killer case. So yeah, that's not good.
So what does that say about you?
I just take sandwiches very seriously, Kevin.
Yeah, lunch here is very stressful.
Everything must be just so.
Man.
I have it rough.
Oh, poor you. But yeah, I mean, tell me, I mean, you're a Jack Webb, you know, I don't know.
Finish that sentence.
fan.
A Jack Webb aficionado.
Obsessy. And, you know, where does this show stand in the context of the overall overarching Dragnet development over time?
Dragnet started as a radio show in the late 40s, became a TV show in the early 50s. This is the first season of that. I believe this was actually a script that was reused from the radio show. And I think that was out pretty apparent because it was very talky. There weren't a lot of sets. It wasn't very visual. It ran, I believe, for maybe 8 seasons, went off the air, and then he brought Dragnet back in the mid-60s. He did it for about 4 years. Then he quit again, and he was preparing to bring it back in the early 80s when he sadly passed away.
Oh, that's too bad.
In the interim, he did other programs that he perhaps was more emotionally invested in. He loved jazz music. He did a show called Pete Kelly's Blues. Why is that so funny?
I'm just picturing it.
He did shows about other public service agencies, like Emergency, which co-starred his first wife and her second husband.
That's big of him.
Yeah. He got to start doing... he did a Jack Webb comedy sketch show on the radio, which is bizarre to hear, but it's fascinating.
Sounds like a fascinating guy, but you know, I think I mean, to get started, I will tell you what tricked me into thinking that this one would be more of a classy approach to Dragnet, a little bit more somber, a little bit more gritty, a little bit more interesting than The Color. It's just the intro. You know, it's all in black and white. It's very dark. It's very dim.
It's literally the very same.
It's literally it's the same thing, but in black and white. But when it's in black and white, it looks more ominous. It looks gritty. This is the city, you know, shadows and streetlights. It's moody. So I think maybe I'm just a sucker for black and white. But they didn't do that much with it to make it visually interesting, which is a shame. You know, and so I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be kind of interesting to see a more noirish Dragnet. And then immediately a cop walks up to Friday, asks him for a toothpick, and they have what feels like a very long conversation about that. And it's in that kind of quick patter Jack Webb writing of, like, it was brutal. The murder, I mean. You know? They always say shit like that. They're always, like, clarifying clauses. But the problem with this, even though it's similar to the color version dialogue that we know and love, it, for some reason, the audio blows. Did you notice that?
Yeah, everybody seemed to be kind of mumbling.
Murder was brutal. Da 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 da.
Da. Wasn't that basically what the show was?
I think we can end the episode right here because I think you just summed it up. And oh, the best part of this is everyone would pause for the dramatic dun 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 horns, where they would be like, they would say something like, I guess this was her last day on the job. Dun, 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 dun. And they both, like, kind of look off to the side. And I just imagine, like, right in view to everyone, there's just a big group of horn players who do that. And, like, everyone can see them. Everyone knows they're there in this universe because they basically interact with the horns. They almost break the fourth wall at those points.
I think for your birthday next year, I should hire some horn players to follow you around. And you can say dramatic things whenever you want. And they could punctuate it.
Honestly, that would be really nice. that would make me feel taken seriously.
Yeah, you'd probably hire someone with like a penny whistle to follow me around.
Anytime you do anything embarrassing.
Perhaps a sad trombone.
Oh, that would be sad. But it would be funny.
That's all that counts.
Yeah. And I also hired some people to film me with a camera phone so I could capture it all, put it on YouTube. But yeah, they basically a girl gets murdered at her office.
How was she killed?
She was bludgeoned to death with a pipe wrapped in paper. And they find a kind of a guy who's out of his mind, drunk, hitting his head on the wall.
Sounds suspicious.
And he knows her. He knew her quite well. He was friends with her. And he would often borrow money from her. He reveals to the cops under questioning that he covered for her when she was cheating on her husband. So they had a bond over that, basically. And so he immediately looks very suspicious to the police. Known connection to the victim, check. Covered in blood and, whatever, garbage and dirt, check. You know, he's very near the murder scene, check. He claims to have visited her on the night of the murder, check. So things are not looking so hot for this gentleman.
But it's early enough in the episode that he can't possibly be the actual
guilty man. You know it's not him. And at this point, we are so fucking bored with this episode that we paused the fucking thing and drew this experience out more just to see the weird signs that the cops have pasted over, like, one of the central information desks in the station.
It had, like, when to jail children.
This is the LAPD, folks.
Not making that up, but actually said that.
When to jail kids. When and when not to jail kids. So.
What do the other signs say?
There was one about what code 3 justifies. I thought it said for a second, what code 3 just titties. So I was going nuts for a minute. But, yeah. So next we meet. So basically, for some reason, they're not feeling the guy who's obviously did it, the drunk guy. They're kind of feeling like he's not usually violent. Why would he do this? And that's when a report pops up.
Oh, tell me about this report.
New report. The report says that another woman was killed in a similar manner, pipe wrapped in paper. And the suspect was some dude who is kind of nuts. And he has a brother who's a firefighter. And they go to interview the guy and get more information. And they realize that this guy used to date the victim. But unfortunately for the audience, the firefighter, when he's talking to them, for some reason sounds like they dropped him down a fucking well. I don't know. He's standing right there and he's talking, but it's like, hello, yes, I did this. What's going on?
The black and white dragnets, it's a source of contention and mystery as to what happened to the original masters of the program or whether or not they even still exist. And so the handful of black and white dragnet episodes that are widely available tend to be ones that are second, third, or fourth generation copies. And so I think in theory, if the master of this could be found, I think the audio would probably be perfect.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And the image would be crisp.
But what happened? Like, how did they lose them?
It's a source of contention whether or not they were lost at all. Some people say they were lost. Some people say they're in a vault and just haven't been restored. I was reading an argument thread about this on Facebook just a month or two ago.
What do you believe?
I don't know. I would really love for there to be a complete set of the Black and White Dragnets issued.
That would make sense. I mean, it's a popular show.
So there are several hundred episodes.
It's also like super influential in the history of police procedurals, which people love. So it feels like there's an audience for that. Whose vault would it be?
Maybe Universal?
Oh, geez.
I think and there was a fire.
Yeah, that fire. Yeah. That's
so some
good.
People say, well, maybe they were lost there. The black and white episodes were widely syndicated decades ago. So there should be plenty of copies out there. But if you try to buy episodes of the black and white version of the series, they're usually put out by public domain companies, which issue the same 15 or 20 episodes in various configurations in various sets.
Right. That sucks. That sucks that they died in a fire.
Well, maybe they're still out there. Who knows? I would love for there to be a complete set issued. As I say, I think it would sell reasonably well. I mean, they were able to make a profit off the color episodes. I think the argument is the color episodes are more popular. They're more easily accessible, not just because they're in color, but that's people saw it on Nick at Night for years. They're kind of funny and over the top in a way that the black and white episodes aren't. Because say what you will about this episode, it's not funny.
No, it's not funny at all.
It takes this up much, has a much more serious tone.
Yeah, and the serious tone is not necessarily borne out by, like, good writing or, you know, a fascinating case. It's just kind of like, I think actually this case would have worked better in, like, radio format.
Yeah.
Because what we're seeing is basically a blur of low, calm, talking men who are smoking and then talking in the, on the phone in low, calm voices, wearing hats, walking around a little bit, then dramatic trumpets come out of nowhere, and then we got some low, calm narration. But then that's life. That's my life anyway.
That's life with Kevin.
My name's Kane.
Carry a badge.
My partner's name is Kevin.
Kane and Kevin. Sounds like a cop show.
Kane and Kevin. Are you the loose cannon cop or am I?
Kane sounds like...
I'm the loose cannon cop. That's just not even... That's obvious to everyone.
Yeah.
You're by the book, babe. No offense.
Bit I follow the rules.
Bit of a square.
The rules were written for a reason.
Oh.
That's the, you follow the rules, you know how things get done. You go off half-cocked. You create more problems. I just want to get through this and retire.
I just, I just want justice. That's what I want. Slam. Apologies. Took the bit too far. But, you know... Yeah, so we get to our, I mean, honestly, the mystery of what happened to the Masters is probably more interesting than what we're talking about in this episode. But the we get to our central creepy figure, and he's actually the guy who might have been the murderer of this woman. He's actually a familiar face. Who is this guy, Kevin?
You mean the character or the actor?
The actor.
I forget the name of the actor, but a few months ago we did a color episode called Intelligence. And the actor who was the bad guy in that episode is also the bad guy in this episode. Jack Webb was one of those people who seemed to have a regular troupe of actors. If he liked you, he would use you over and over again because he really liked working with people he felt comfortable with.
Honestly, good for him. I like giving people work again and again. So we got to give him a thumbs up for that. I believe that man's name was Stacey Harris in this episode playing the bad guy of William Tanner. And then in the Intelligence episode, he was a white supremacist fascist nut who was running guns illegally.
It's fun to see the same character actors pop up on one hand, but on the other hand, it just makes it seem like even if you're watching an episode you haven't seen before, if it's the bad guy from episodes you've seen before, you feel like you're watching a rerun of something you've already seen.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, it's just kind of like the world of Joe Friday in some way is so monotonous that like the same faces keep popping up. It gives like a sense of almost like the character's mindset.
Sense of depression and meaningless.
Yeah.
You put Stacey Harris away, then the next week you have to put him away again.
Yeah, he's doing other shit. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, like, it is kind of a depressing show. In Dragnet in general.
Why do you say that?
Well, like, it's like kind of this nerdy guy who's kind of comes out and is like, I'm going to do my job and talk in very calm, short sentences. And like just shit keeps happening.
He's fighting the forces of evil and chaos. And he's so dedicated that he doesn't really seem to have much of a private life.
He has no private life. And it's this whole, like, you know, martyrdom thing, you know, and it's just like, ugh. But like I'm fascinated by it, so it's certainly interesting.
What about it fascinates you?
Oh, just the insight into the creator's mind, and kind of really does seem to have a huge influence on modern day police procedurals. I mean, down to the fact that the character is so married to the job. Like, what would be novel at this point is to have a cop in a main character cop in a police procedural who's very much dedicated to family time or personal time, and like will set a quick, hard boundary in most cases if his job his or her job tries to intrude on that time. That would be novel. And then still does a good job and still is respected and admired. That would be novel. You know, having them, hey, I'm about to get married. Oh, I got a call. The chief needs me. Runs away. I mean, that's just seems pretty stupid. It gives this kind of sense that, only I can solve the case. My colleagues are fucking idiots. I need to get back in there and solve it. I just think that's kind of stupid.
And one thing we see on Dragnet that we see in many other shows since is you have two cops working together. One is very solid, very professional, and very by the book, and maybe even humorless. And the other one is a bit more of a wisecracker, a bit of a comic relief, a Lenny Briscoe type.
But, in the case of Gannon, who's the kind of wacky partner in the color version, to the kind of very somber Friday, Gannon's basically idea of a crazy time is like, hey, I bought socks with lobsters on them. Ho-ho! And then, like, that has no bearing on anything. No one ever talks it again. Friday looks very uncomfortable for him having brought that up. And it goes nowhere. So it's kind of a hilarious version of the wacky guy. He's not like a loose cannon cop who's like gonna go like shoot up a place. He's just like, he's more of like, that's the best place for flapjacks in town, and everyone ignores him, and then he just keeps talking.
But he's giving you glimpses into his private life. That's shocking.
Friday looks so uncomfortable whenever he's talking. He's looking at him like, when are you gonna stop? Please stop right now. I don't want to know. I don't want to know about your socks. It's too personal. Too intimate. Friday's the guy who would like get really uncomfortable if like a waiter or a service person was like calling him Joe by his first name. He'd just be like, he's such a weird character.
I believe in the black and white episodes, he lives with his mother.
Yeah, I guess.
She's presumably passed away before the color episodes.
Yeah. And the creepy thing is, like, everybody in the color episodes is constantly asking about him when he's going to get married. And it's just like, why are we fixated on this? So Mr. Stacy, old Stace, is playing this guy who has all of a sudden found God. So that's obviously suspicious to Friday. So Friday and his partner go to this guy's creepy, like, storefront church and interrogate him for a while and sort of get his opinions on things. So how does that go, Kevin?
How does that go?
You don't remember a goddamn thing about this episode, do you?
It's been, like, what, 20 minutes since we've seen it? There was lots of scowling. I remember there were lots of meaningful looks between
lots
the two
of looks,
detectives.
Yeah. I just wrote down Dragnet, the show that's not afraid to be creeped out by born-again Christians. He's like, God's my friend. And they're just looking at each other like, oh, fuck.
He does tell them that one of the victims was a sinner, and so he had to kill her.
Yep. After a long, drawn-out, awkward conversation about, religion and how he knew the victim, and she was going out and she was baring her ankles and she was drinking and carousing with sinful men, and I warned her what I was gonna do, and then eventually he's like, yeah, I killed her. So,
and then Friday shock. Friday counters where so she's a sinner, but what sin is worse than murder?
And Stacy looks like freaked, legitimately freaked out, like he never considered that, holds his head in his hands.
Da, 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 da.
Oh, jeez, you're right. Well, what did I do?
Whoops.
Oh, no.
That's why they put erasers on pencils.
No take backsies on this one, Stace. Just for this is so dumb. God. Can you imagine if you went up to like a crazy religious fundamentalist who's killed someone and been like, but didn't the Bible say not to murder? And they'd be like, oh, shucks, you got me. If it were that simple, people wouldn't do stuff like that. But Dragnet's here to say that you shouldn't kill people ever. And, you know, but...
Or have any normal human emotions or connections with other people at all.
I kind of love it, though. If he, you know, in a way, by being so awkward, he almost... Friday almost feels like a real person.
Really?
Well, it's a huge flaw. He's so unrealistic, it almost feels realistic. He's got so many idiosyncrasies. Yeah, it almost feels like he's a character you can more of, like, lock onto.
But aren't, like, all the police officers, at least in this black and white version, kind of just like him?
But it was you're not an focused in,
it
on
was
them.
An endless blur of white, middle-aged men mumbling and looking meaningfully at each other. And literally, it was a blur because of the quality of the print.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it looked like shit. I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, like, in this case, yeah. But, I mean, by the time we get to the color version, that's certainly not the case.
And the color version, almost everybody else seems to have a life.
When we were on a road trip, we were listening to episodes of Dragnet, the radio series. That felt like the superior version of this show. Because you weren't distracted by the shitty visuals or just the uninteresting visuals. Even if the color had been, even if this image had been crisper, you know, there's not much to look at. So that felt like a better version of this premise and the show. Because you could kind of use your imagination to fill in the blanks than this iteration, black and white. Whereas the color version, at least the color and those whatever scenes, they added something to an extent. Even though this, you know, was still really cheaply made and there were only a few sets and whatever. I feel like we got something out of it.
So what changes would you make to the show to make it work for viewers in 2021? Well, is that even possible?
I don't know if you could. You know, I mean, there's like the kind of the network police procedurals that are super popular. Dads love them. You know, moms love them. They're kind of for the older generation. And you know, some of them can be fun. Some of them can be boring, whatever. But like they all are going to be a little bit more dynamic than Dragnet at its most dynamic. Because they're going to have kind of a quirky, usually it's like a quirky team and like, you know, we're the team, you know, the criminal minds people or we're the NCIS people. And we're all going to work together and solve the case, you know, or you're going to have a, like a prestige drama. And then that's, you know, there's going to be a certain level of expectation for the writing. And, you know, so Dragnet, while it maybe gave us some of the tropes, you know, feels very of its time, you know, where it maybe broke some boundaries and kind of. Made some things happen with the genre, but it sort of feels like it'd be hard to resurrect. And frankly, I mean, it's so tied to Jack Webb, you know, with him gone, it sort of feels like, I don't know. I don't know if you could really do it a lot of justice. We were talking about the movie. Maybe we'll watch that for Mystery to Me one day, but,
the one from the '50s and one from the '80s,
the one with Dan Aykroyd, he did a really good job channeling Jack Webb, like to a scary degree. With the Friday character in that. But the problem was, even though he was bringing his A game, the whole movie around it didn't necessarily feel like Dragnet. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say.
So it's like, you know, you could have an element that would be really good for a Dragnet resurrection, but the whole picture sort of needs Webb, or, you know, somebody who really understands Webb's sensibilities to make it authentic Dragnet. And, you know, maybe like authentic Dragnet isn't snappy or interesting enough for a wider modern audience.
The last time they tried a version of Dragnet was back in 2003 when Dick Wolf, who basically owes his career to Dragnet, in my opinion, he's the creator of the Law & Order franchise. He did a show called Dragnet, later called L.A. Dragnet, with Joe Friday, played by Ed O'Neill.
Okay.
Who was an Al Bundy on Married with Children, and he's also the old man married to the younger woman on Modern Family.
Oh, sounds familiar. That would not
be... That show only lasted like a season.
That would not be my pick. I mean, he's a good actor, but that would not be my pick for Friday.
Okay.
who would be your pick?
Who's my pick for Friday? For modern day Friday? I don't know. I really don't know. Who can do kind of like... He's got to be effortlessly square. Like, it can't be like, oh, I'm this like hot young actor who they put glasses on. You have to actually, like, you have to really embody that. You have to be a square. And not in like a cute, self-deprecating way. Like, oh, I tripped on my own feet and I fell over and knocked over a statue. It has to be like, this is a guy who's just not fun at parties.
Would Chris Evans work?
No. Captain America?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who would you pick?
I feel like you have to have a certain level of charisma to get by in Hollywood these days. So like that would immediately cancel you out in my opinion for this character. You'd almost need to like go to like some random place. You know, I don't know. Like you'd have to like go up to some guy on the street and be like, "You're Joe Friday. Come with me." Cut to Kevin walking down the street, and all of a sudden a Hollywood producer screeches to a halt in front of him and grabs him.
That's what you arranged for my birthday.
Yeah. That's... I don't know. What do you have someone in mind, a name in mind?
No.
Do you think anyone could do it?
No one really comes to mind.
Sound off and email mysterytomepodcast@gmail.com if you have your ideal idea for... casting a modern day Joe Friday and you want to waste some part of your precious time emailing us about who your ideal person is. I thought Dan Aykroyd did a good job.
Yeah, he was fine. And Harry Morgan as Ganon was in the movie too.
But, you know, you'd have to have somebody who can be really kind of a square. It's not a sexy character.
Would you have a female Friday?
No. I mean, maybe.
It sounds like a bit of a sexist.
If you could get the perfect woman to play it who can also be like a total square, but not in an endearing way. Like, so often women, like nerdy women in films are just like, oh, she wears glasses, you know? Or, like, she has her hair up, and then, like, she takes her hair down, and everyone's like, what a babe. And it's like that. It could not be that. You'd have to be just really, be able to really lean into being fucking awkward and not fun. So I'm the perfect person to do it. I have been not cute awkward plenty of times in my life.
Now, Anya, you know you're not the least bit awkward.
Oh, please.
You're charming and a delight.
Kevin, I could be pretty fucking awkward when I want to be.
I've never seen you be awkward.
Well, you're just blinded by your love for me. I feel like I've definitely been the Joe Friday in the room at points in my life.
What's that like?
Lonely. It's very lonely. But, you know, everybody has Joe Friday moments.
Yeah, I guess it's a depressing way to start to wrap up the episode.
I know, jeez. Well, now we can both be Joe Friday together, Kevin.
So you think I'm Joe Friday, too?
He seems to embody a certain isolation that I think you and I have both felt. But we're together now.
So everyone else can breathe a sigh of relief.
Yeah. So there's a Friday. If you're a Friday, there's a Friday out there for you too. And thank God it's Friday. So to wrap up this episode, we learned through a title card that a psychiatrist declared old Stace completely sane.
So they killed him.
He's executed in a gas chamber at San Quentin. The end. What the fuck? That's I love how they do that. They don't even like. They just get to their arrest. They don't do any denouement or like. They like denouement. They don't do that. And you know, they just kill this guy off screen. No fuss, no muss.
Again, that's very standard with Dragnet.
Very abrupt.
They always. end with the arrest, and then there's a title card telling you what the ultimate resolution is.
Yeah. Yikes. And you always see the person, the bad guy, or the, you know, the criminal, standing there, like, looking solemnly at the screen. And then they killed this man. Like, oh, cool. Jesus. No matter how you feel about the death penalty, it's unsettling.
But wouldn't you love that, like, when you met people at parties or whatever, suddenly there's, like, a title card telling you their ultimate fate?
Oh, my God. That's just dark. This guy got drunk and drove off a bridge. Dun, 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 dun. Jesus Christ. So what was your take on this one?
I prefer the color episodes.
Yeah. I think this one had me saying, wake me up when September ends.
Thanks for listening this week. I'd like to give a special thanks to Kevin T. Greenlee, who's no relation to me. He's the guy that composed the great music for this podcast, and you can find him on the web at kevintg.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at MysteryToMe. That's mystery_to_me_. And at MysteryToMePodcast on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can always send us recommendations and feedback of any kind at MysteryToMePodcast@gmail.com.
We're not teens setting up Hotmail accounts in the early 2000s, so all of those spell out two as T-O.
Thanks so much for listening.